What's up? How are we doing, gents? We're here live with Rec Radio episode 31. I think that's the number at least. Is that confirmed, 31? Yeah.
Was there an echo?
Yeah, I hear a little bit of an echo. Anyway, wouldn't be the same without some kind of thing messing up. But yeah, let's get into the sponsorship stuff first. Let's have a few on take from here.
Yeah, as you guys know, this show is sponsored by Rollbit, one of the largest crypto casinos out there. You can do anything from casino games, futures trading on crypto. You can use up to 1,000x leverage. I would recommend you don't do that unless you know what you're doing. And you can even do sports betting as well. So check out rollbit.com or rollbot.com, depending on your jurisdiction. I think we don't yet have the codes because we are waiting for our man Razor to get his internet back. So no codes at the moment, but stay tuned for the codes and we'll do the
spin. I didn't do the codes until halfway through the show. The YouTube comments went off.
Give us the fucking codes, mate.
Honestly, like,
we're here for the fucking codes. That's it. No.
They could not have wanted to listen to me less.
Oh, yeah. You were by yourself. That's right. Yeah. Sorry about that. I have some volume issues. Yeah. You were by yourself.
Alpha is not the codes, right? The codes get you $25. The prizes get you like 1,000.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't know. Maybe people just don't like NFTs anymore, you know? What can you do? Speaking of NFTs, I think Azuki zapped the market pretty good. A little jolt. $40 million raped and pillaged from the current holders, which is even funnier. Like, it wasn't even like they brought like new people in. They're like, we wanted to expand the fucking, I don't know, Shadow Garden, whatever the hell it's called. Meanwhile, they just took all the money from holders. So they didn't expand the garden at all. They just raped and pillaged the pockets.
Do you get like, are your DMs full of like death threats from people? I bet you get some spicy DMs.
No. I mean, like, there has been some people recently yelling at me for random shit or like shorting. And then like some guy thought a lot of people actually thought that Azuki base swap I did was real. And they were like, wow, I just lost a lot of fucking respect for you. Like, you're promoting these. I was like, what, dude? Like, I guess my guy, Jaden, just like, I don't know. He's getting good at the face swaps. People really thought that was like a 101 sick elemental.
Those face swaps are getting very, very disturbing now. Like, the ones where I look at it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's kind of hot. And it's like, oh, wait, it's KBN's face. It's like, oh, God. How did that thought cross my mind?
You aren't like in the face swaps that much anymore. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of beating a dead horse with those. You know, we'll see how long it goes. I still get a laugh out of them, so it is what it is. And then on the market front, what do we have? I don't know. It's been pretty stagnant. I mean, like a lot of emotional fuck yeah all in and to fuck no all out, at least for me, because I'm a psychopath maybe.
Or it was like a bit of a shock. But we had that move.
Big
shock. You guys weren't around for the move where we went from what, 1600 on ETH to 2000, and Bitcoin went to 31K. And luckily, you guys missed that week. And then for the last week, it just felt like a chop where like it's either going to break down, and you feel like it could go much lower, or it's going to keep on going parabolic. I don't know. I feel as though that big move up has kind of invalidated a lot of the bear thesis of it. I just think it's a new narrative now.
I'm still taking the other side of that, just because it was clearly a lot of sailor buying. I mean, it was ETF news, of course, which is like, in my opinion, non-event type news, especially on the short-term time frame. And I think you're seeing that reflected in ETH's weakness. I don't know. I think we're about to see a drop here. But
what is ETH?
You know, I feel like a broken record.
Yeah, but ETH has been.
Why don't we bring in Rookie XBT too?
Let's do it. Let's bring in the biggest bull there is around.
What were you gonna say though, OSF?
Oh, right. I think we can't hear Rookie, right? He's muted.
Well, he shouldn't be.
Am I still muted?
We can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. What's up? You call me the biggest bull.
Absolutely. The most notorious. The most notorious.
The most notorious bull.
Day of the week.
How are you guys doing?
I think one of the best times in my life was like October, November 2021. Like, you just wake up. ETH's up another 5%. Rookie's nothing tweeting like HSBAF. Like, I think it's probably like the high point of my life, I would say.
That was euphoria. Next time I do that, just sell
everything.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. Me and you have been going back and forth in a private chat recently. Like, Every time it goes down, I'm like, oh, rookie, it's going to zero. Every time it goes up, he's like, it's going to fucking million.
It's either extreme for us. Yeah. One day we're short, we're calling for zero. The other day we're calling for 50K.
Not yeah. great. It's bad enough, like following KBO on Twitter, being in a group chat with him where he's just hounding you when the market goes down. I don't know if I can handle that.
I gave it to Rookie this morning, and then it bounced right in my face.
We get used to it after a point.
Yeah, they know the extremes of the mental instability. And
how it's nice to have somebody on like the opposite side of the market, or the trade rather.
I find it useful. It
kind of grounds your thesis a bit.
For sure. No, you get it losing right. views and getting good little nuggets of information about what the other side is looking at and shit. And we can balance it out as traders. Usually, even at the emotional swings we're displaying isn't always like, you know, how convicted we are in a trade maybe. But you just came from your show, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But yeah, going back to 2021, let's run it back. Let's head back to good highs. Wake up every morning. Wake up every morning with our internet pictures going up another 50% while ETH is up another 20%. I miss those times.
I saw that tweet, I think it was yesterday, being like, can't we just go back to the days where you could mint out an art blocks collection and it did a 4X?
Yeah.
Instantly out of the gate.
Yeah, exactly. What happened to those days?
Yeah.
It seems like you're gone.
But, remember when we put money into NFTs thinking they were a leveraged bet on ETH? Good times.
I mean, yeah, narratives, they come and go, huh?
Yeah.
Seems like most are going nowadays. Oh, but you just how gave you, away a shitload of money.
How did you first know each other? Like, how are you guys enemies? As most of KBN's first acquaintances seem to be, and then they gradually become friends.
I think we kicked it off right away. But we're just degenerate. And when two degenerates meet, it's just like, yo, what's up?
Just know. Yeah,
it's just
soulmates. He's like how I met most of my close friends from the space. Just like meet him online and then meet him in person and just get along.
So, you gotta get with people that make you look normal, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. That's why I hang out with Ricky. Yeah. You guys have seen him in pictures. But you just gave away a ton of money on your show, right?
Yeah, I got lucky. Rollbit pulled through. I put like $100 on the number, and then there's some 500x multiplier turned into 50K. And then gave it all away.
Rookie has the show where they give away money, but first they gamble it and then give it away. Yeah, just so you know.
Other little games, but
add the degens into it. Not just straight charity, a little bit of degenerate charity.
Yeah.
Turns into
entertainment.
More
we get our content out of it and then help people in the process.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Kind of do that. We you'll see at the end, we do like a little like a loot box spin. But we haven't had any big wins. We had someone won like a Pudgy Penguin, which is worth like.
It's coming. It's coming. This is it.
It's hot. So it might be today.
It's coming, guys.
It's more consistent. You know, it's like everyone wins like 5K every single week. Whereas.
What's the biggest you could win?
I mean, you can win CryptoPunk, right?
Up to $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 million in NFTs. So you decide how much that is. But.
So the first show we did, someone almost won a hoodie CryptoPunk. When they were like 300 ETH or 400 ETH, like it was like that far away from winning on it, and I was like, I feel good about this, but that was the closest we've ever been.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, exactly. It was programmed.
That's how we get you. Isn't that the truth? So, why don't we go back to what is Rookie XOT? Where did this come from? How'd you start? Let's go back to the roots of that.
Roots of that. How long do we got here?
You have five minutes. Out,
so you're good.
5 minutes. Let's do it. Okay. I was always interested in the idea of having your money work for you, like most of us are, at a young age. Asked my dad for money when I was 13 years old to trade stocks with. He was generous enough to lend me it. Obviously, being an immigrant, he's like, fuck it. Not necessarily, but he obviously works hard for his money, but it's also like he's always wanted to have his money work for him. And the fact that I brought it up, he was like, okay, let's try it. And he lent me 10K when I was 13. I went all in during like the marijuana hype of 13, 14-ish. penny stocks. Fucking had zero idea what I was doing, but managed to turn 10K into 40K in rapid fashion. So it's like entering at the peak of froth in any cycle. Got lucky, didn't know what I was doing, buying OTC penny stocks, turned it up to 40K, and then inevitably, as most people end up probably doing, I ended up buying a company that went bankrupt in like 2 days after I put money into it, got delisted and shit. So just lost it all. Had to make up a story to tell my dad. That wasn't great. But ultimately ended up telling him the truth eventually. And now I'm just back in school like a regular kid. But all the while just still learning like the mistakes from the mistakes I've made, doing research, trying to just understand better trading in general. And then I obviously wanted to, the best way to learn is having money and skin in the game. And at 14, 15, didn't have money. So I would pretend to be someone I'm not on Facebook, much like what we do on Twitter still. But I was doing it on Facebook when I was 15. I was pretending to be an older gentleman, and I was giving and I was giving people stock trading advice, thinking I knew what I was doing. Which I did. I felt confident enough to the point where I was capping and pretending like I was some old man, and I was giving people stock trading advice. And eventually, like they started hitting. Although I had no money behind my own bets, I was just telling people. Again, sort of like people do on Twitter now. I was just pretending like I was trading.
Catfished Facebook.
I was catfishing everybody in these Facebook communities.
Or reverse catfish as an old man, rather.
Exactly. And they were like, oh, damn, this guy knows what he's talking about. And eventually I got gigs where people were offering me money to like write articles for them on things like Seeking Alpha and all these other platforms. And I got accumulated about $2,000-$3,000 one summer just from writing articles for people. And it was a lot of money because I'm Canadian, and when you do the conversion from USD to CAD, it's quite a chunk of change for a 15-year-old. Didn't have a bank account, so I had to send all that money to PayPal and just hoard it. And then one day decided to Google the exact words were how to make money with PayPal money, because I didn't have a bank account, I didn't have anything. And the only two platforms that came up were PokerStars and eToro, which is a CFD platform, I believe, based out of the UK. And both of those accepted PayPal as a funding method. Put some money on PokerStars, obviously got wrecked. And then put the rest on eToro. And then that's how I got into leverage, because they had leverage and shit. And I was just clicking buttons, getting lucky at the start again. And then I remember like being in school, professors teaching, and I'd be sat at the very back of this huge 500 person lecture hall, because I don't want anyone peeping at my screen. I was just leverage betting shit, and it was working. There's days where I'd make like 5K, and then I'd immediately Google what that professor is making in a year, just to make myself feel good. And because public servants' salaries are fully disclosed and like out in the public, I was able to like figure out what my professor was making. And then I'd do the math and I'd be like, damn, I just made more money than my professor makes in a month, sat here in her lecture hall. And it was pretty dope. I learned a lot from it. Obviously, I ended up losing a lot. But eToro is kind of what got me into crypto, because I would see in late 2016, I would see ETH constantly being the highest performer. When it went from like a dollar to like 12, it was just consecutive weeks of just doubling. And ultimately, because there's nothing like it, when you see an asset as the top performer every single day for like 2 weeks, it piques your interest a bit. So I started looking to ETH, started leverage trading ETH. And I mean, 2017, learned a lot, lost a lot. And then eventually, if you stick around enough and you keep going at it, I think it's inevitable after a point. It only applies to crypto. It doesn't apply to gambling. But if you know what you're doing generally speaking, and you try not to make the same mistakes you've made and past cycles or past experiences, I think you're bound to do well eventually. But that's a pretty much a TLDR of myself.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a typical trader come up story. It sounds like you're starting at a way younger age than a lot of people. And it's kind of shocking that 15-year-olds are writing my Seeking Alpha articles that I read sometimes.
Yeah, you know.
Fucking old. It all makes sense now. Every time I read Seeking Alpha, it all makes sense.
Seeking Alpha, putting that one out of the bookmark tab as we speak.
Yeah, they pay me to be bullish on a stock, so I'd be bullish on a stock.
Jesus. Just
finding out every reason to be bullish on a stock, and I get paid for it. I'm not. It is what it is.
Yeah, you're a known bull, a known optimist.
It worked both ways, but yeah.
Yeah.
So when did you like fully start like making it? Like, I know you said you started making more money than you, but surely it sounds like you lost a lot of money at the start.
I mean, 2017, I ran my article trading money to like 100K. And then ended up losing it all because it was long the ETH BTC pair, thinking ETH was going to dominate the world. And Poloniex let you long the ratio, and I was long ETH BTC, and it worked out for the first half. And then latter half, Bitcoin decided to do Bitcoin things, and I got absolutely demolished. So lost it all in 2017, and then 2018, 2019, still in school. Working towards a bachelor in science and simultaneously working at Tim Hortons, which is a bakery shop, pouring coffee. But even when I was at Tim Hortons, I would use the workplace iPad, which is used for food and safety, whatever it was. You have to, like, every hour you got to input the temperatures of all the products you're serving, just for the food health aspect of it. And I would use that iPad to trade on BitMEX while serving customers. And it was just a complete juggling act. But yeah, the 2018, 2019 was just make as much money working and use my student loans to put into crypto, credit card debt into crypto, and just all into crypto. Because you see what the potential is, right? And once you do, you never leave. So it was just me going into debt and buying crypto stuff. And this 2020,
2021 story.
Congrats on advice here.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. Like, I think about it now and I'm like, what would have happened if everything went complete opposite of how it went? I would have been in credit card debt, student debt, living with my parents. With fuck nothing. Nothing. Wouldn't be great.
Yeah.
But 2020, 2021 is when things really started picking up for me personally.
So were your biggest gains in 2020 and 2021, was that from like having leverage positions? Was it just getting into stuff at the right time and holding onto it? Was it just from like trading stuff around? Like, how, like, what was like the big stuff that made it for you in that period?
For me personally, and I know like a lot of people try to deter people away from leverage, I'm not one of those people. I think leverage, if used right, is how you make like the big money. And obviously it doesn't work out for everybody, and more often than not it's not going to work out when you start off. And then if you learn from it and you time things right, it plays out. But for me, it was personally just leverage trading and being an ape when it's time to ape, which again it's more like a gut feeling, having been trading stocks and crypto for like more than a decade now, and I'm only 25, but more than a decade now, kind of get a feel for things. And eventually, when I don't really like I just wait for easy mode. That's pretty much it. You wait for easy mode and then you just shove as much as you can when things get really super easy and you can just compound your wins. And then when you're hitting it big and eventually, inevitably, you're going to hit a big L, you just withdraw your money and then you put it into something that's not as high risk. And for me, it was still crypto, obviously, but something that's not leverage. So I would just ape and then put some money into like some spot bag that I think is going to go up. And if you time those two things right, it's just, you're just compounding your money and it works out in a big way. Yeah. Or it doesn't.
How do you think you identify these spots? Like when you're starting and now, how do you go about figuring out which spot's a high leverage spot, figure out what times, like when it's time to ape?
Just your big green candles. Big green candles. Big green candles, bro. And
that's what you dream
about. I hate the whole idea of Twitter sentiment, because a lot of people use Twitter sentiment to justify certain trades. But then despite Twitter sentiment being overly bullish or overly bearish, you'll see in things like open interest and funding that it's not what Twitter is saying. It's the complete opposite. Sometimes Twitter's turbo bearish, but like everything about like on chain and just open interest is indicating bullish. So it's, I oftentimes try to trade against Twitter, but not as much as KBM does. KBM does it more so than I. KBM just likes to be on the opposite side of trades every single time. Every single time.
Always and
it works out. It works out.
Got to be careful, though. You can get fucked doing that, obviously.
Yeah.
I know when to switch it up and go momentum, though. I'll be ready to do that if we break through.
Chop is horrible. When price is just going sideways for no reason, it's horrible. It's like the worst time to put money down. But we do it anyways because we're fucking stupid.
Just want to catch that big move.
Yeah, we're just trying to catch the big candle. But oftentimes, you're better off waiting for the big candle because the candles after that are just a continuation of that. So I think I'm slowly learning to do that more and try to avoid times of just sideways where all you do is bleed money.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a step back, it looks like you wait for a trend to like be identified, and then you lever up when that trend starts to go. Like let's say we did break.
Yeah, through, exactly. Like this last week was a proper situation where BlackRock news came out, and then you just see big green candle, and you're like, okay, you're not fading this. So you just jam it, and now we're at, you know, 2023 highs, which is nice. And yesterday I was long as fuck, and it didn't work out, obviously, as keyboard knows. But I think the next move would be just wait for the 2023 highs to get broken for good, and then you just shove in that spot.
So I guess, again, what you're saying, though, is you wait until you get basically just, well, not destroyed, but you get stopped out on that leather trade before, and then you just go to spot.
Yeah.
You go into like Bitcoin or something like that.
Yeah. But like, I'll only get absolutely destroyed if I've been levering up leading to that moment. So the hope is that up until that moment, I've made some money on some kind of trend. And then I'm just trying to compound it. So there's going to be a moment where I'm long at the top or the local top or close to it, and it goes the opposite direction. And then at that point, it's obviously large sum of money. Take the L, just take money off your off exchanges and just put it in the spot, and then wait until the next obvious trade comes. But it sounds easy in theory, but it's not really.
Do you have any, like, I mean, I always do these, but I sometimes just have like short-term rules. I'm like, I'm not doing that again. Like, I'm not doing that again for the next month. You know, like that sort of a trade. Like, do you have any like rules that you have about trading? You just like, having been burnt so
losing
many times?
Losing in general, hopefully, preferably, but I don't know. Obviously, like with the strategy I have, it's like every single time you take that big L, you're just like, never again. But it's what's worked so far, so I don't see a real reason to change it until something really, really, really bad happens, and hopefully it doesn't.
Well, what were some of your biggest losses then throughout your career? Since you started so young, I'm sure you had a bunch. First, I want to hear about your biggest losses, then maybe about the mental aspect of starting so early. I mean, you're like one of these financial wizards that you read about in the Washington
Post. Like when I was like in my teens, my biggest loss was 20K or 40K. That was disgusting because I was a kid. I don't even know what like $1,000 in cash looked like, let alone 40K. And then when I was 2017 cycles, 100K. And then 2021 was disgusting. Probably like biggest loss in 2021 was probably like eight figures.
Yeah.
On like a singular retarded, like, in hindsight, what the fuck was I thinking kind of trade, you know? Like, you just long in a spot. It was long, obviously, because it's peak froth and you're just thinking it's genius season. And then
was that suddenly, during that party when I was short?
Which may
that one been. That
Miami
beat through, yeah.
Could have been, bro. Yeah, I think it could have been the Hail Mary trade you made. Yeah. It was just my money going to your wallet.
That was fun.
But it was some disgusting amount of money, and it was, in hindsight, it was like, what were you thinking? You long a coin that's up 5 or 6x in the span of like 3 weeks. What the fuck? But you live and you learn, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess our perception and reality of money changes when you're trading, when it's just on a screen. I mean, like, how do you deal with the mental swings of this kind of stuff, and how have you dealt with it in the past? I think a lot of traders, you know, have a hard time maybe making that transition of how the money feels in real life, how the numbers feel on the screen. Since you've taken such large losses, there's obviously a lot of mental shit that you beat yourself up with when you take those. What did you do?
Yeah, I mean, well, I remember in 2017 or something, I ran up like 2K to like 50 or 60K, again, longing the ETH-BTC ratio. And then I woke up at 6 o'clock going to Tim Hortons to work. So I had the alarm, woke up at 6. And if I remember correctly, the price of BTC went up more than ETH that day, causing the ETH-BTC ratio to absolutely get destroyed. And I lost like 40K. And I remember going to the shower and passing out because I was like, what the fuck? Because I only used like 3x leverage, but the ratio went down 30%. Even though both assets went up, it's just Bitcoin went up way more. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? And I passed out while the shower was on. And I woke up 5 minutes later or something. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Never felt something like that. Hopefully never will. But that was how you start off, I guess. You always have to learn to eat your biggest losses, move on from it. And then eventually the goal is to just emotionally be like a rock. And whether it be making a lot of money or losing it, you just can't react too much to it and have your emotions dictate your trades or your decision making. Early on, I was not great at that, but I think I've gone better over time. You just eat your L's and eat, you know, take your W's, but don't let it really get to your head too much. It's just another trade.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, everyone goes on super highs and super lows, and as a trader, you really need to focus on not letting yourself get too high or too low.
Yeah,
at least something I struggled with too. Mm-hmm. I think. Especially we've all been humbled and punished in different ways by the market. So, I mean, like, what are you doing over there, Mando?
Just going back to all the times I've been humbled. Like, you can
sometimes just... What was your biggest loss? Let's show you that. What are your three's biggest losses?
It depends if you mean, like, mark-to-market or monetized losses. Like, you can, like, in 2021, yeah. Everyone's like, net worth was like, oh, this is how much I'm worth. And then it's like, oh, I'm not. But it's like, is that a real loss? Because you didn't.
Like a singular trade or like a single day, I guess.
Like 5 mil?
Yeah, I think it depends. Because I used to work as a professional, like a trader. And I've had bigger losses than that. But that was like for the bank. And then.
Fuck the banks. Good on you.
Yeah, exactly. But then personally, yeah, I think 8 figures. I think 8 figures roughly, like, must have been that easily during 2022, right? I think on some days, maybe even 9.
Oh. For the bank or for the Bank of Man? Wow. Yeah, man.
Nine's pretty bad for anyone. Yeah, just down a cool bill today.
I remember that one day. Remember who was it? Fucking Chamath was like, "Yeah, I've lost like 300 million today in one day."
Yeah, well, his shit was toxic at one point. I mean, it still is, I guess. This fucking SPACs.
Yeah, SPACs. It was on Solana. I think you lost it on.
Oh, really? Yeah, there you go. Even better.
Also. Yeah, like, I know what you mean. Like, and when you get in that mood, you're like, the market is just against me. like whatever I do right now, the market is just against me. And yeah. that's what you need to get yourself out of, because like if you have the emotion that you think that it like it's coming for you, or you like you think you're like you're somehow there's something wrong with you, it's not it. It's like the number just goes up and down. It fucking just goes up and down. It doesn't care about you. It's just fucking doing it all day. If you went to sleep and or went to a coma for a year, it would still be going up and down. It's just nothing to do with you. I think that helps after a while.
It's important to realize that and not spiral downwards.
Yeah. Spiraling downwards is negative.
Not great. Yeah.
So let's talk about some of your big wins. Or maybe let's talk about what KBM said. Like, how do you think you have the mental fortitude now? Do you think you're in a good place going into 2023? Do you think this is going to be your year? Do you have some like rules now?
You gotta believe it to achieve it, brother.
Yeah.
But in terms of big wins, it's almost difficult to appreciate big wins, because at the end of the day, it's just numbers on your screen. And I think that's what makes people lose a lot of money as well. Is because you don't really appreciate the money for what it's worth, or like really realize how far it goes in the real world. We're so desensitized. It's just, oh, look at me. I just made 100K. And then you kind of zoom out and you realize in the real world, that goes a long way. But here we are gambling that 100K again to try and double it, or just doing something crazy with it. I think that's what I need to learn more to do, and I'm still not quite there yet, is just trying to appreciate the money that's made and really understand how far it goes and not lose it all in the process.
What's your process now to try to learn and appreciate money? I'm interested.
Give it away.
Give it away and see how it changes people's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, giving time and volunteering, all that kind of shit.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like what you just said, it doesn't become real until you start talking about those numbers with people outside of being a trader, or like you start seeing what those numbers, and then someone's like, oh, that cost me $100. And you're just like, fuck, like this is so detached from like how real that money is.
So bad. Like gas fees, for example, we were just aping into shit peak 2021. And we're just like spending thousands of dollars on gas a day. But then you really realize how far that goes in the real world. Does it change your decision making? Maybe. But, you know, I guess it's just the cost of making money is using the capital to make more. But yeah, I got to appreciate things more. That's a lesson.
You sound wise beyond your years, man. Like you said, I feel like I'm speaking to like like a six.
Slipped a lot of lives. No, it's that I did.
You should be in the group chat, bro. Not that one.
This group chat? It sounds like this group chat is just KBM and Rookie, just like laughing. Yo,
we got Sailor in there. We got Larry Fink in there. It's crazy.
Sailor and Fink. Fucking going at it.
So when do you think? I know this is like literally the billion-dollar question. But when do you think easy mode comes back? Like, do you think there are signs we're getting closer to it? Do you think it's like potentially like a this year event? Are people being too optimistic? Like, what's your take on that?
I think like generally speaking, and not being a bulltard, I think we have like the perfect storm brewing with all these ETFs. And again, the narrative of the halving, again, it's just a narrative, but
yeah,
that's a big thing, right? Like it's a narrative, but it's sort of become a self-fulfilling prophecy every 4 years for the last more than a decade. So there may be some substance to it. So pair the halving with the potential of these ETFs and just how every world power is essentially fucked. It's like everything's just aligning, and it's hard to be bearish, because like the only thing bears have going for them is like stock markets in recession. But is it though? Like Apple's at an all-time high. You know, things are going up, and I guess we're really counting on like AI to just sort of lift us up from an equities point of view to new highs. It could happen, but I don't think it makes sense to like look for Bitcoin to mirror equities moves like it has the last couple of years or last year, especially in the bear market, because I think with the ETFs and with like halvening, things are going to get spicy.
So easy mode 2023 is basically what you're thinking.
No, easy mode 24, 25, not 23. 23 is just KBS, fuck around. You just fuck around.
But you fuck around. This fucking, I don't believe any of this until we break 31K on actual bond. Till then, nothing.
This going to be.
It's going to happen in like an hour.
I think you're right. But, like, yeah. I'm definitely in that camp too. Like I think we get easy mode 2024, and I feel like this is like the year to position for it. Not in terms of like leverage positions, but in terms of like your spot positions and stuff. Like, and obviously second half of last year was like the best time to load up and all that stuff. But
so Saylor's just gonna be the richest guy in the world, huh?
I think he's gonna crush it.
Unfortunately, bro.
I think he's gonna crush it.
The most entertaining answer is the most likely.
Yeah.
And you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna mark the next top on Bitcoin again. He's gonna like mark the fucking 150K buy or whatever. He's gonna end up getting stopped out.
When he buys it again at 90K, we sell.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me sneak in a quick code just to see if anyone's listening. Rookie Radio 75. All right, back to the show.
We should write it in the chat as well.
Yeah, I'm putting it in the chat now.
Last week, it's just me.
There, it's in the chat. It's on the thing.
There we go.
As a bull, what I'm essentially just telling myself is you front run the ETF approvals, which are front running the halving.
And front run
it's the 10 IQ thesis.
Just keep buying.
This is the thing, though, I know what you're saying there is 10 IQ, but what I really agree with this is it's just the perception of a narrative is all you need. Like, you don't even need it to be that big a thing. Like, the ETF...
We saw it with Azuki's minting out yesterday.
Yeah.
It's the perception of something or the promise of something.
Yeah. The ETF itself is like... The gold ETF, I think, is something like less than a tenth of the size of the actual gold ETF.
Who cares about a goddamn ETF? What does that matter?
That's why it's small, but it's just a narrative, man. Like, you have to understand that, like, this is something that when everything goes lower, everyone now has, and they don't give a shit.
KVM, people can buy Bitcoin with their retirement, bro. That's huge.
They're not gonna. They just lost all their money buying it from their grandson. Like, my dad was in crypto. He's out now. I don't think they're coming back, like, anytime soon. They're not gonna be like, buy the Bitcoin ETF, get fucking scammed on 2% management fee or something.
I think when it was heading down before this, I texted you on the side, this KVM, like, I was like, there is no narrative. You know, like, when it goes lower, it's like, DeFi's fucking imploding. NFTs are imploding. There's nothing. And now, when it dips to, like, below 30K, I think a bunch of people are going, like, gotta buy this dip. ETFs are coming.
It's going to be choppy as hell. When it gets above 31K on volume, I'll join you guys. Otherwise,
yeah, right now it's choppy as fuck. It gets above 31K, which is only $1,000 away by
then. Yeah, it's $100,000 to overcome, as you've seen. I mean, like, stocks are fucking ramping. I know we're decorrelated at this point, but like, ETH had a chance yesterday to try to break out when stocks are ramping. But stocks are just like random squeezes, and it got the door slammed in its face. I mean, I don't know. I don't think you're going to see enough momentum to pop this shit
at this juncture. I personally think. The 14K we hit in 2018, I believe, like the dead cat bounce kind of vibe. I think we get as far as like 42K on this move.
I hope so. I'll make a lot more money. I just don't think.
Yeah. I just think it goes higher than. It's just at a spot where it's like people are looking for reasons to buy now and not reasons to sell. So.
Can Bitcoin and crypto just fucking keep going up if the equities roll? Because. How the hell are equities going to keep going up, guys?
Easy.
Basically rolled and no one really...
Rolled? They're fucking at high still. They just
I know, but like...
Squeeze for day and then sell off for day. Squeeze. They're doing Bitcoin chop right now.
If we break 31K, KBM, can you turn up in like full Bitcoin attire? You know, like what you would imagine Sailor.
If we break 31K, I'll fucking buy orange face paint and everything.
Okay.
I don't even know why. What am I even getting out of it? I just feel like
you need to become the biggest Bitcoin bull if we go.
Yeah.
Laser eyes, bro.
Yeah, laser eyes. Anyway, yeah. I'll have Jaden shop laser eyes on everything. It's everything's gonna be that. Yeah, I mean, like rookie, like we've said already, you sound wise beyond your years because you've been trading for so long. Wise in the trading arena, maybe, or maybe just old target as you mentioned it.
Facts.
But where do you see yourself going in the next 10 years? Since you've had such a fast journey, this fast ride from teenage trader to
good question. I don't know.
Up to
it's a question I haven't asked myself yet.
Let's think about it.
Just taking it a year at a time, bro. I don't know where I'm at in 10 years, but hopefully wealthier, happier. Yeah, but beyond that, I don't really know. I'm just fucking winging it, unfortunately.
You don't have a number? You don't have a number that you're like, if I hit that number, I'm done.
No, I think that's bogus.
Yeah, I mean, that's somebody in the chat said. They're like, well, if you guys have millions of dollars, why haven't you fucked off and, just traveled and lived around? I mean,
that'll happen and shit. But like, I don't think there's a number that you just magically hit and just stop doing everything you've been doing for the last decade.
Yeah, it's tough. Once I make it all back, I'll stop.
and then you'll want twice as more.
No! I just want to stop.
Do you sleep, KBM? Like, you wake up early? I've noticed.
I wake up at like 5 or 6 a.m. in my time zone because, I mean, I haven't been like partying or anything. I've been taking it pretty easy, and my body likes to naturally wake up early. I found, so I wake up at that hour, I go to bed at like 11, 12. I don't know. I get like 7 hours of sleep.
Right. I don't know.
I sleep like a baby in these shorts, bro. I don't fucking care. It is what it is. I know I'm right. I'll go to bed. Wake up. I mean, I'm sure I have like probably night terrors. I wake up and check my phone real quick and then go back to bed.
Whenever I have too big a position, I just don't really sleep. Don't sleep
well. I just don't even care anymore. I'm like, that's the will of the world. I'm not going to stay up. I used to stay up all the time with big positions, but I mean, I do trim before bed, of course. And you can't just like go deep shit.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I'm not going to stay up all night. I don't have time.
Or do you?
I checked during 2020. I got like 3 or 4 hours sleep, I remember, during 2020.
Oh, yeah. Those days were different, right? I mean, you had to stay up because there was a lot of shit going on, like way bigger moves. Now I feel like it's like you trade between events. And between the events, you're not going to get crazy like fucking 5 sigma moves. But, it could happen, I guess. But I don't know.
Do you still trade? Do you trade anything else, rookie? Do you trade NFTs? Do you trade stocks? Or is it just crypto now?
I traded NFTs once upon a time.
all of them pudgies?
Yeah, just a bunch of shit. But now it's just crypto. Nothing like it. Probably changes when ETF happens, or if it happens.
When?
I reckon things get boring. But yeah, casino going to casino.
Yeah, I do think it's the most degenerate thing. That's part of the bull case for like crypto in general. Like ETH is literally just a casino. It's just a casino, and if you think about a longer term time horizon, the casinos are always going to be making money. Like, always going to be making money.
Yeah.
Always going to be need for it. Like, you're basically just moving your money to fucking stakers doing random shit on chain. And like, if you really just take that, ETH is just a casino in Vegas, and probably the biggest, or like the biggest casino in the world, and you just got to bet that it's going to do well over a long term time horizon. Unless someone moves to
all the other use cases, we just want a casino up as bullish.
It's a fugazi, fucking half the shit on this.
Yeah, of course.
The chain is the casino, so like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should comp it to like LVSP and see where it's at. It'll be like $100.
That's what I realized during about 3 months ago, when I was like, everything that I thought was a good application for this chain doesn't seem to be going so well. but it doesn't really matter. Like people, if people just assume it's just a gambling house, then probably going to be fine. And it, it burns every time everyone does stupid shit. Like the more stupid shit people do to gamble on this chain, it just burns more ETH at this stage. Shitcoin season, no one made it. Like they've all just gone to zero, and ETH just fucking got burned. Like I'll buy into that.
ETH number one coin for real, for real. No cap.
What if better tech comes along and surpasses it, and then everyone was wrong?
Yeah, I mean that's the issue. That you
you're not going to fix. I think it's the network effect of it being around for as long as it's been around.
Yeah, I think
that everyone's just going to win. I guess everyone's just going to win.
We're all going to win, bro. We're definitely going to. There's no losing. Losing's not an option.
It was
imagine losing after the year we had last year.
Nope. Yeah.
Did you tag into the life, KBM? Does your wife just get like, annoyed at you for just being like bearish about stuff?
I don't know.
Let's try this new Chinese restaurant. No, it's probably shit.
I'm a realist.
I'll take the other side.
You guys are
drug addict. You're going to get for that price?
No. Oh, my God. This is just who I am on Twitter.
Let's get the steak. Nah, it's way too rich.
Or bar at 25. We've been changing the price.
All right. So what else, Rookie? What have you been doing lately? What have you been looking at lately? I mean,
just vibing, bro. Not much.
Seems like you're taking it easy. Then you're taking it easy for summer. You're not expecting big moves, yeah. Or are you?
Nah, unless 31K breaks.
All right.
We're on the same page there. After the LA yesterday, yeah, we're on the same page.
So if it breaks 31, where do you guys think it goes?
42.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. I mean, if it breaks and holds it, I guess we just ride.
We just gonna ride that.
You're gonna say it's not gonna hold it. I can already see it now.
Yeah, don't see it. That's KBM.
No, dude, I'm gonna
100%. We're gonna be at 31.5K, and KBM is gonna go max short.
No.
He's gonna be calling for zero, and then he's gonna have his little meme guy superimpose his face on some random meme.
Yeah, it's a man, not the script. Anyway, I guess we're gonna wrap it up soon, guys. What do you guys think? Do you have any more questions before I get to the closing questions?
What are you doing daily at the moment, Rookie? Like, I know you do this show. Like, maybe take us through the show. Is and I'm like, well, what keeps you occupied?
Yeah, just the show. Try and travel a bit more this year, but yeah, the show is just me giving away money to people, inviting people on. I'm trying to do it twice a week. Inviting people. Obviously, we have the gambling aspect of it, but I'm trying to pivot away from that because. Unfortunately, like TikTok doesn't like it. YouTube Shorts doesn't like gambling. So like the last couple of streams we've had, people just come on stream. Let's say I invite three people on stream, have them participate in something we call the Olympics, which is just essentially asking them to grab two items. And first person to grab these two items and come back on camera wins a bunch of money. So today we gave away 54K doing something like that.
That's like life changing money. You give it all in one go.
Yeah, bro. I think today was a crazy stream for sure because we start with 10K every week, and today I ran it down to 1500 just gambling, and the last bet hit and it hit like it's never hit before, and all of a sudden I have 60K in my wallet, which now I have to give away in the next hour and a half. So we're just inviting people and giving them 5K each, and it worked out.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I like that.
We're at 270K given away this year.
Wow.
Oh, so we need to renegotiate Rollbit, man.
Yeah, whoa.
Shout out Rollbit. Shout out Bybit.
That's sick.
And then you're just trading?
You're just trading.
You're not like a hashtag builder?
No. This is what I'm building, I guess. It's turned into a passion project of sorts. But beyond that, nothing really. Just a boring old trader.
Waiting for the next one.
Yes, that's kind of what we are too. I mean,
waiting for some action. That's it.
Nice.
Oh, Seth, you want to do us with the last question, then we'll do the live spin?
Yeah. So last question we ask all our guests this question to end on. What's your best advice on how not to get wrecked? How do you avoid getting wrecked?
How do we avoid getting wrecked? Damn, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
How do you avoid getting wrecked? Wrecked being, I guess, losing it all?
Yeah, anything.
Whenever you're in station. Yeah.
I think it's inevitable. You're going to lose it all at some point. Unfortunately, I think I do think that's a reoccurring theme amongst people who've quote unquote made it, is they've lost it all many times, and it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what amount you start with, you're going to fucking learn lessons, and it's going to be tough. You're going to probably cry. You're going to pass out like I did, but it's part of the journey, I guess. And there's no real way to avoid getting wrecked beyond just managing your risk, lowering that leverage, try not to make it overnight, because it's never going to happen. It's a journey. But yeah, I mean, crank down the leverage at best, but I don't even listen to that advice, so I'm not going to give it.
So it's a little dance around not losing it all. Basically, keep yourself in the game, yeah?
Yeah, just survive, because it's unfortunately, it's like a coin flip, and if you flip it enough times, you're going to get, you know, five heads in a row, right? And that's what essentially crypto is. Flip, you stay in the game, or like baseball, you just have enough capital to just survive and just survive until things become easy mode again. And it's not always about hitting home runs. It's just you got to get on base and just survive, man.
I like that.
Good advice.
Don't use leverage, but use leverage.
No, use leverage. Use leverage.
I said don't use leverage, but use leverage.
Use it. Max, love that bitch.